Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mornings with the Outlaw here on this lovely Monday morning. Happy May the 4th be with you. Hope you all are enjoying yourselves this morning and kind of celebrating Star Wars in your own special way. If you're a Star Wars fan, if you're not a Star Wars fan, that's perfectly fine too. Do your own thing. It's Monday, May 4th. We are, what, how many months into the self-isolation, self-quarantining? The world's going crazy. People are protesting. It's all nuts out there. Thank you for taking the time to join me this morning. Have a little fun with me here on Mornings with the Outlaw. Popping up my Vader shirt, repping my Vader shirt that my friend Jonathan Gabay gave me a couple of Christmases ago. He always gives me great presents. I love this one. So repping for May the 4th today. And of course, give it a little love. Where is it? Give it a little love here. Boom. There you go. Star Wars. May the 4th be with you. That's Yoda. I can't do a Yoda right now. Not this morning. Not with my voice the way it is. This morning, I hope some of you all got to go on the stream last night for Call to Action. They were doing a wonderful stream, a charity stream for Craig and Sonia. Of course, Sonia passing away, unfortunately. But Craig and you're needing some support, some help, financial help for the funeral expenses and all of that. So it was great to see so many people showing up and so many people donating. So if you haven't done that yet, go and find the addresses. I don't have them in front of me. I should have probably got them ahead of time. But Paul Preston or the people involved there at Chill to Action or Call to Action, they will hook you up with any kind of information you might need if you want to donate to the Kickstarter for the funeral expenses and what have you. Here for Craig. And if some of you are closer to Craig, maybe you want to be part of the meal rotation. People are buying or cooking meals for Craig to help him through this difficult time. So thank you to Call to Action people, rather, for doing an incredible charity stream last night. It was fun to be a part of that. My lady is out this week. She is down in San Diego. She is helping her sister out. Her sister got called in to help with the what is happening in New York with the coronavirus situation. So she is out there in New York. My lady's down in San Diego taking care of the puppies, handling business down there. So I am flying solo this week here in the Outlaw Nation studio. So it's a little weird to wake up, a little strange to wake up, a little bit of an empty house, but I'm doing my thing, trying to keep myself going. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today. We're definitely going to talk about the G.I. Joe news, the extraction numbers from Netflix. You know, what does this mean for Chris Hemsworth? What does this mean for the streaming service and for this movie? And do we believe the numbers? That's another thing. And of course, going to wrap it up a little. Kevin Smith, he had some more conversations, some more things to say about this Snyder Cut, about the Justice League Snyder Cut that Zack Snyder had shot. So we're going to look at those quotes as well and analyze. Of course, I'll be answering your super chats and your Streamlabs. So please send them through. It's Monday morning. Got to keep the lights on in this place. Give us some love here on the Outlaw Nation channel. And of course, some of you are wondering when this show is going to pop off, and that is this Thursday, the Jedi Way, in honor of May the 4th. We'll be launching its first episode this Thursday. Jake Iacovetta was very kind to finish up the overlays for me over the weekend, so I'm excited to shoot that show and put it up for you all to enjoy and consume. So it'll be my first, first few attempts to be making these shows that are not live. They're more produced shows, so we'll see how it goes. Hopefully you enjoy it and have a good time with it. And maybe I'll drop a sneak peek later on today on my channel or on my social media, so which you can follow me down there at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. One more thing before we get started, want to announce who is going to be on Outlaw Nation show tomorrow night, and that is the great Danny Fernandez. That's right, Danny Fernandez coming on the show tomorrow night for the Outlaw Nation, 6 p.m. PT, back to its regularly scheduled time, 6 p.m. PT to 8 p.m. PT. We're going to be hanging out there with her. And, of course, I'll stay after. I realized last week with the Scott Mantz show, and hopefully you guys saw the Scott Mantz show or listened to the Scott Mantz show on the Outlaw Nation podcast network, I realized that when the guest leaves, I should probably stay after for a little bit and touch base with everybody, see how they felt about the show, kind of do a post-show conversation with all you who are joining me live for that show. So stay after Danny leaves tomorrow night, and I'll hang out with you all for a little bit longer and talk about the show and how it went and all of that business. And once again, yeah, if you haven't seen the Scott Mantz one, please get on it. Watch the Scott Mantz, but that was a lot of fun. I want to get it over 4,000 views. So give it some love or download it on the Outlaw Nation Podcast Network. All the shows are available on the Outlaw Nation Podcast Network. So go and be a part of that now. All right. Let me thank everybody who's in here this morning. Haskell 420, what's going on? Marie Zimbeno, what's going on? Andrew G, yo, what's up, Andrew G? How are you? Saw you give me some love there for getting David Arquette on that stream, that wacky stream yesterday we did with Chris Burns and a couple other people there. We had a lot of fun, but I don't know if I'll ever be doing that again. That was a strange stream for sure. If you want to watch me and Tyler Lemko and Chris Burns, aka the Dark Attack, and David Arquette and Enzo Amore, of all people, talk about the 1998 Bash at the Beach. We did a live stream yesterday for like 2 hours and 20 minutes. Trust me, there's some interesting stuff that goes on. So if you want to take a look at it, feel free to do so. Joel from Compton, what's going on, my man? Hamdogius. I don't know if I know that one. Hamdogius, nice. Rick Samoris, what's up? Vanya Kostiak, how's it going? Louis78LP, what's up? What's up? Jason Earhart, how are you, man? As we do, let's see. Yes, it's really good, as do we all, which we will probably never get an answer, right? I don't know who's responding to. Let's see who else is rolling in. Nathan Etienne, good to see you, my man. Wiley Todd, what's up, Wiley? How are things with you? How are things ever going, man? Congratulations again on you getting into the film program you got into. Good stuff. Ronnie Padilla, how are you? Matthew Hannon, good morning. How are you? May the fourth be with you as well. Nate M, how are you? Tavishka Productions, good morning. Bash at the Beach watch along was awesome. Thanks for doing that. Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know. William Lee Pratt, Queen George Jim, Corey Cameron, how are you all? It's so good to see you. Mr. Ang, how are you? Mukbang Reviews is rolling up in here. Dwayne Watkins, what's up, Roka? What's up, you, man? And Rednecks 42. Those are the people joining me here live. And remember, the Streamlabs are up. The Super Chats are up. So please send in your questions and your comments, and I will read them on the air, and we'll have a conversation about them in between the shows. That's for damn sure. Hope you all had a really great weekend as I'm logging into the Streamlabs to make sure it's all squared away here. So many people signed up and, subscribed to the Outlaw Nation. We're close to, going across that 13,100 mark. Pika 3000, Danielle Rodriguez, Spencer Jackson, Metal Hendricks, Christian Hestes, Gavin Wyatt Holtz, Stephanie Mitchell, Newton Lambert, Brian Pardue, all joined in with me or subscribe to the Outlaw Nation channel. So if you haven't done that yet, please go down there and subscribe to the Outlaw Nation channel. Give us some love here on the network and, keep spreading the word of the Outlaw Nation. Get people involved, get them to join the nation and enjoy the content that we are producing every day here or just about every day here on the channel. And of course, I would say every day because I throw in my podcasts outside the Top 10 and the Cinephiles. We just dropped the Cinephiles podcast as well on Friday. Hope you all enjoyed that. 300, having a little fun with Zack Snyder's film, which both of us thoroughly enjoy watching. So we talked about it and broke it down. And speaking of Zack Snyder, we'll talk about him later on in the show. All right, there's about 80 of you all in here. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Please swing that cursor button over, hit that like button, get me over 100 likes as soon as we can. And let's jump into things and go start the show. Let's do it. Mornings with the Outlaw. Let's do it. All right. Our first story today is one that excites me to no end and also makes me a little trepidatious, and that's G.I. Joe. This is coming from a Variety. According to Variety, Paramount Pictures and Hasbro, they are developing an untitled fourth G.I. Joe movie with the studio in negotiations with the writing team of Joe Shrapnel and Anna Waterhouse to do the script. The new project would actually be a follow-up to Snake Eyes' G.I. Joe Origins. Oh, why am I getting X-Men Origins, Wolverine vibes from that. It is going to star Crazy Rich Asians, star Henry Golding, who we just saw in The Gentleman as well, in the lead role as the head of an anti-terrorist group. Robert Swinky is directing the film, Snake Eyes, and it opens on my birthday, October 23rd. This is going to be a reboot that comes 7 years after G.I. Joe Retaliation, and then, of course, G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra came out in 2009. Both of those films, in my opinion, are absolute garbage. They were terrible to watch, tough to endure, and wasted so many good actors in a terrible efforts to make good movies. But this is the situation. This is what they're going to do. Maybe they've got a lot of confidence with the snake eye situation going down. Maybe they enjoyed what they're seeing or what they came up with there for snake eyes. We shall see. As much as I may not like those movies, they did gross almost $700 million combined worldwide. Lorenzo de Bonaventura is back but to produce this thing. He produced the G.I. Joe and Transformers movies. So, it's a Transformers movies, but a G.I. Joe movie. So, he might have the magic touch here if he gets the Transformers formula to work in the G.I. Joe formula. We'll see. And it's producing with the all-new, with the new film. The film will be produced with Hasbro's AllSpark Pictures. Now, here's the deal. Joe Shrapnel and Anna Waterhouse, they recently wrote two films. One was Seberg, the Kristen Stewart film that's about the real-life person, Jean Seberg, essentially a biopic about her and her life and what she was enduring at that time. I felt like she was being chased by the FBI, the CIA, because she was an activist and what that yielded for her. The reviews were absolutely terrible for the movie. It's like 30% on Rotten Tomatoes and I think maybe 50 or 60% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes as well. So that doesn't bode well necessarily for them writing this one. They did write the remake of Rebecca, which is the film that Alfred Hitchcock won the Best Picture Oscar for in 1940 with, I think, Joan Fontaine and Laurence Olivier in that one. But they are remaking it for Netflix with Armie Hammer and Lily James. So I don't know. I don't know how that one goes. If that one's going to get well received, we shall see. But overall, I mean, I would say I'm a little trepidatious to see what this, why we need a fourth G.I. Joe film. They tried to get it right so many times. I'm hoping this is a Spider-Man Tom Holland situation. Well, I mean, I can't even compare it to that, to be honest with you, because people enjoyed the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man's, the first two ones. So I can't really compare it to that, to be honest with you. It's just that there's seen so many attempts to get this G.I. Joe thing right. And although they made $670 million combined, that's nothing compared to what one Transformers movie did, except for maybe Bumblebee. All the other Transformers movies singularly have beaten the combined total of G.I. Joe. So clearly there is work to be done here. Also, to be honest with you, and let's be real about this, how many international audiences really want to see a G.I. Joe film that's all about these, American soldiers doing their thing? Is that going to be necessarily something that the overall worldwide public is going to be on board with? I don't know. Those are questions you need to have. Are these characters too old? Can you update them to make them seem interesting or make them seem fun to watch? That's my question I have with this G.I. Joe thing. Now, of course, as a fan of the G.I. Joe animated series, growing up with G.I. Joe action figures, even occasionally reading the comics of G.I. Joe, I'm excited to see another attempt at the G.I. Joe. I'm just concerned about the people around this thing. It does not necessarily exude, the strongest level of talent to make me excited to see the movie or think that they're going to have a good product. We'll see how the Snake Eyes movies. We'll see how the Snake Eyes movie does, if it even comes out this year. And we'll see what the result and the reviews of those are. Because if you start out with a Snake Eyes movie that isn't that strong, and then you're going to base an entire franchise off of that entry point, I think you can be a little worried that it might not 100% hit the mark. And if it doesn't hit the mark, then the concern becomes, well, why are we doing this whole thing? Is this a waste of time? Or are we going to spend time trying to save this character, right? I liken it to like Netflix, with all their Marvel shows, right? Everyone was doing well, and then Iron Fist came along, and then they spent the Defenders, the whole series of Defenders, trying to kind of, make redeem Iron Fist a little bit as a character and as the portrayal was being done. So that was something that I think might be here. If Snake Eyes doesn't come out well or comes out middling at best, then it seems like the G.I. Joe anime or the G.I. Joe film will be doing a hard time trying to kind of redeem the character of Snake Eyes or make him more badass. Because that's a badass character, man. It's a smart move to start off with Snake Eyes because everybody loves Snake Eyes as a character. But now, if you're going to use that entry point, Snake Eyes isn't usually the leader of G.I. Joe. So how are you going to bring in these other people? And if you're going to start with Snake Eyes, how are we going to accept Snake Eyes being under the guidance of another, G.I. Joe, of Duke or whatever, whoever's in charge there that they're going to put in charge? But we'll see. I mean, I'm excited in terms of as a kid who loved the G.I. Joe stuff, like I said, but I'm also cautious and a little wary because I don't see the strongest writers or the strongest producers necessarily involved with this thing that usually deliver great content or great product. So I'm going to take a drink here real quick. Anyway, so we'll see how that goes down. We'll see if it's positive overall and people like it. Ooh, I'm a little light. Oh, let me affect that. Sorry, I didn't notice that I was a little light here. Let me mess with this. Ah, there we go. A little bit. There we go. A little gain. A little gain action. A little drop it down. Aperture priority. Boom. All right. There we go. That's a little bit better. Sorry about that, y'all. I didn't know that was happening. And then let me see the white bounce. Ah, there we go. That's a lot better. All right, so there we go. Now, okay, now I'm back on track. Let's see what you all think. Any Streamlabs or Super Chats have come through so far? No Super Chats, no Streamlabs. I guess people aren't that excited about G.I. Joe or to talk about G.I. Joe, so I totally understand. Not everyone is a G.I. Joe fan. Maybe you all are as concerned about it as I am. Camshaft, good to see you. Good morning. Hope you're doing well. I appreciate you stopping by. I got over 100 y'all in here already. Thank you so much. Please swing that cursor button over. Hit that like button. Let me know what you think about this. And give me a like and then let me know what you think about everything. Xeno Hour says, give me a Gareth Evans G.I. Joe movie. Yeah, I'd be down with that. I enjoy that. Let's see. A lot of people are commenting here. Extraction. Well, we're going to talk about Extraction in just a second. Hasbro Cinematic Universe. Will it happen? It's a good question. As I said, you know, I spoke to a couple of people who were involved there, and they told me that they had an idea to make this all a connected universe, that the Transformers, that the blood of a Transformer or whatever would drip into a G.I. Joe or drip into, yeah, one of the members of the G.I. Joe, and that he would become Stretch Armstrong, and then Stretch Armstrong would be connected to G.I. Joe and the Transformers. There was going to be a whole thing. They were going to connect everything and make a cinematic universe, and I'm sure that's their overall goal to be able to do it, but I don't know if 100% they'll get there to make it as important or as strong as you would like to see in that situation. Did you guys get a chance to see, I'm not seeing too much chat over the G.I. Joe, so maybe you guys aren't that interested in it. So respect in that level. I know I thought for me as a fan of it, I thought I should talk about it here on Mornings with the Outlaw. Also, the other thing that we should talk about is did you guys get a chance to see that Bad Bitch Challenge from Zoe Bell? My God, that was incredible, wasn't it? I mean, it was so much fun to see all these incredible actresses involved in this, doing their version of the stunt work that was done, I think, last week, that was released last week. Obviously Zoe Bell's in this. Cameron Diaz is in this. Rosario Dawson is in this. Halle Berry is in this. So many good actresses are involved in this Bad Bitch Challenge. It was a lot of fun to watch. Really enjoyable stuff to do. There's Larry Lease. Good morning. How is the covered wagon business? I don't know. It's been a long time. Covered wagons. Does anyone have covered wagons? Maybe the Buffalo Bills, because they know how to circle the wagons. Who else was involved in this? Let me bring this up. I want to make sure that I get it right. I think it was the Boss Bitch Challenge is what it was called. Here we go. Halle Berry, Scarlett Johansson. That's right. She was involved in this as well. It was pretty awesome to watch. Let's see. Who else? Margot Robbie. Yeah, Florence Pugh was really fun to see her doing her thing. Margot Robbie, yeah. Cameron Diaz. Drew Barrymore was in this thing. Lucy Lawless. Rosie Perez. Zoe Saldana. As I said, Rosario Dawson. Daryl Hannah. Let's see. Tara Macken was in this. Juliette Lewis. Tamiko Brownlee. Some of these are stunt actresses. Jamie Johnson. Kim Murphy, Daniela Rua, Michelle McAllister, Caitlin Olson. Oh, so funny to see her in this. Lauren Mary Kim, Julia Butters, Angela Merrill, Sarah Irwin, Sophia DiMartino, Tracy Toms up in this, Shauna Duggins, Ming Kui, Renee Goldsberry, Lily Aspel, Tandy Newton, as I said earlier, Mel Stubbs, Jesse Graff, Monique Ganderton, Heidi Moneymaker, Dana Grant, Renee Moneymaker, KT Tunstall of all people. And then Zoe Bell at the end there. So that was a lot of fun. If you haven't watched that video, it is a joy to watch. You guys should definitely watch that video and enjoy yourselves and have a little fun. That was I didn't spot ScarJo. You better go back, Redneck. ScarJo is totally in this thing. Get on top of it. Gnome saying, ashamed to admit I couldn't place half the women in the video. Yeah, well, probably because the most of them are stunt ladies, so around the name actresses. So you know, you have that there. So people are just talking there in the stream, no big deal. Let's see. Larry Lease, very nice on the stream. By the way, as I'm looking at my behind me, don't forget, it's the 4th. May the 4th be with you. So please get your copy, if you haven't, of Why We Love Star Wars from Ken Knapsack, The Great Moments That Built a Galaxy Far, Far Away. I tell you, this is a fantastic read for May the 4th. There's so much in here, so many great stories in here. Ken worked so hard, over 370, 380 pages of material here for you to enjoy and read and get involved with Ken Knapsack. He's fantastic. This book, if you haven't picked it up, it's on Amazon. It's at any of the bookstores that you go to. It's such a great way to celebrate the 4th if you want to do it that way. And I can't encourage you all enough to do so. So please give some love to Ken. Give some love to my man over there, Back from the Future right there. That's Brad Gilmore. His book is out also on Amazon for you to enjoy and do your thing. See, if you're a big Back to the Future fan, that's a fun read. It's 180 pages. It's a breeze, man. It's a breeze. It's so good. All right, let's see. You got any more Streamlabs? No, no Super Chats? All right, let's jump on to our second story, and that's Extraction. From Netflix. Let's bring this up here for you all to enjoy the pretty face of Chris Hemsworth. You know, better looking face than mine, for sure. There he is. Boom. Look at that. Molten piece of lava. There he is. That is Chris Hemsworth. Well, this came over the weekend. This kind of burst out this news that Netflix is boasting that Chris Hemsworth Extraction, which debuted on April 24th. I already saw a few of you in the chat saying how much you enjoyed the movie. It's on track to nab 90 million households in its first month of availability. If it does hit the 90 million mark, it'll be the biggest launch ever for Netflix. Sam Hargrave, who was the stunt coordinator on Captain America Civil War, directed the film. Joe Russo wrote the script and produced it with his brother Anthony Russo. That's right, the Russo brothers produced this one. And as I said, it premiered on April 24th. I have not had a chance to watch it yet. I will be watching it this week, that's for damn sure. I want to see if it's any good. I love a good action film. Certainly enjoy Chris Hemsworth's work. So would love to see if it holds up, you know. And if it crosses the 90 million mark, it'll put it there at the top over such titles recently from Netflix as Michael Bay's Six Underground, which did 83 million. Sandra Bullock's Bird Box, which had 80 million households. The Witcher had 76 million. And out of nowhere, the Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston romantic comedy murder mystery had 73 million. So that's a lot to bid at 90 million to be the top film. That speaks volumes to the Russo brothers, to Chris Hemsworth, and maybe the film itself got mostly good reviews. So there were some bad reviews for it, but mostly good reviews. Netflix tweeted out Extraction is well on its way to becoming the biggest ever film premiere on Netflix, with a projected 90 million households getting in on the action in the first 4 weeks, thanks to everyone who watched so far. And then, of course, Chris Hemsworth went on his Instagram, did a video. He said, "Hey, what's up, guys? Hope you're doing well. I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone that checked out Extraction. You've made it the number one film on the planet right now." Now, I was reading a bunch of articles about this, and then I got to Scott Mendelson's article in Forbes. Scott Mendelson's one of my friends and also one of the good writers working in the business today. He has an incredible ability to break stuff down, break box office. He's the one I turn to when I have any questions about box office or any box office analysis that I need, because his numbers are reliable and he knows what he's doing there, and he's been doing it for such a long time. In his column about this, he wrote about the fact that he put some questions on these numbers. And by that, I mean, well, Netflix counts a viewing as someone who watched even 2 minutes of a given episode or a movie, as opposed to 70%, which was detrimental, allegedly, to the 3.5-hour Irishman. He's saying that the viewership makes sense because it's a very good action movie, and it's one of the first attempts at a Hollywood blockbuster that actually feels like a Hollywood blockbuster. Also, you know, roping in the Russo brothers, roping in Chris Hemsworth. But also, and I think you have to factor this in, people are home. People are home to watch these movies. People are being told to stay home. They need entertainment. They need content. Look, I'm no fan of Ron DeSantis down there in Florida and his excuses for keeping the WWE as a quote unquote essential business, which was ridiculous. But his idea of saying that people want new content Absolutely true. I know a lot of us are going back and watching our older movies or watching, you know, old TV shows and kind of reacquainting ourselves with the love of those shows or those movies. But people do tend to gravitate towards new content because they want to see what's the latest thing. They want to be impressed by the latest thing, latest technology, or the latest action fighting techniques or scenes. So a film like this certainly kind of checks all those boxes. So a lot of people probably at home watching this film. So how real can we take these numbers? You know what I'm saying? If Bird Box and all of them had their numbers while we were functioning as a regular society, the fact that we're all home and so we're all available to watch the movie, how realistic do we think these numbers are in terms of carrying any kind of weight or saying anything powerfully about this movie? So that's the thing that you have to throw into this. You can't look at it in a vacuum. Oh, 90 million, this is great. No, you have to factor in the perspective of what else was going on, the context of how they got these 90 million. You can't discount the fact that having people home for days and weeks at a time because of the self-isolation, self-quarantine, didn't affect these numbers in some way. So congratulations to them, absolutely. And I can't wait to watch the movie now even more so because of the numbers and most of the good reviews. But that being said, you can't say, okay, this is the way to go now. People understand this. We have to wait until these movie theaters open and then start looking at these things and analytics of these things a little bit better. If they start to kind of hit these numbers consistently with a lot of these action films coming out. And granted, and Scott points this out, it feels like this one was actually done to try to be a good movie. And he said that there were people on the set that were probably vetoing some of the bad ideas along the way, which kind of helped it gain a little more traction or be a better film, in his opinion. Just to give you a quick synopsis, Hemsworth is a disillusioned and borderline suicidal mercenary who kills his way across Bangladesh for the sake of a kidnapped young boy. So everybody loves a revenge film or a man on fire type of film. So that's a positive for Chris Hemsworth in that way. But we've seen what the Velvet Buzzsaw was terrible. Six Underground got terrible reviews. The Last Thing She Wanted didn't do so well, I don't think. So he's saying it just feels like, you know, this is where it felt it wasn't micromanaged to death, but there were smart people on set making sure certain things didn't happen. Oh, my computer telling me that tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's see, what else does he talk about? Because Black Widow was supposed to open this week. So think about that. If Extraction had opened on the same weekend as Black Widow, do you think Extraction would have gotten 90 million households to watch it? I say no. I think most people would be going to see Black Widow and enjoying Black Widow. By the way, what did you all think about these Black Widow comments? Were you like these tweets going, being cute about the fact that they had seen the Black Widow movie or they had, you know, they're sitting in a movie theater about to see Black Widow? I don't know. To me, I kind of thought they were a little too clever for clever. They were trying to be clever for clever's sake as opposed to interesting. So for me, that got on my nerves a little bit, seeing people trying to be cute about a situation where a lot of us would like to go back to movie theaters, but we can't. And so we're stressing out about it. And so we'll see. I mean, right now on track, AMC is still saying they're going to open on July 17th with Tenet and then Mulan after that. So then we'll see, you know, what these Netflix movies do in comparison once the movie theaters start rolling again and getting going again. We'll see. So, I mean, right now, yes, congratulations to them. Absolutely. 90 million. That's pretty great. You have to say there wouldn't be 90 million if people didn't have an interest in it, at least. So in that way, they accomplished their job by, getting 90 million households to watch it. So in that way, Netflix deserves all the credit in the world. The Russo brothers, Hemsworth. Absolutely. I just need to see more before I give these numbers like, oh, this is a sea changer. This is really big. This is a really big thing to happen for Netflix or for Hemsworth. I think you have to factor in all that. And let's see, what else is that? What else is there as part of this story? Scott pretty much says, Scott's quote is this, Extraction succeeds at being an old-fashioned, R-rated, star-driven Hollywood action spectacular with an A-level studio release. His claim is that this could be the summer blockbuster movie because there's not much else coming out. And if we get pushed back with these delays, with movie delays, then it'll be the only summer action blockbuster movie we have this year, Extraction, because of the high numbers of views. Yeah, he feels that it would have garnered solid viewership anyway, but the continuing pandemic, which has folks stuck in their houses indefinitely and kept new big Hollywood theatricals out of the multiplex, has left this as the default summer tentpole spectacular of the season. And we'll see. You know, right now it's Will Smith's is the biggest grosser. The Bad Boys for Life is the biggest grosser of the year. So there you go for Will Smith. Shout out to Will Smith. Let's see if I got any super chats or Streamlabs that have rolled through here. Let's see, I already got Larry Lisa, so thank you, Larry. Mukbang Review says Extraction was predictable, but I liked it anyway. Okay, all right, I'll take that. I'll take that. I don't mind predictable, but you like it. Michael T, what's up, John? Last episode of Clone Wars was great. Also, the behind the scenes on the Mandalorian series was a fun watch as well. Yeah, I can't wait to catch up on the Mandalorian stuff. That's going to be a blast. That'll probably work its way into my Star Wars show, into the Jedi way. So that'll be fun. And then, of course, Clone Wars, that is appointment viewing for me. I wanted to wait to watch it on May the 4th, as May the 4th be with you. I wanted to watch it today. So once we're done here on Mornings with the Outlaw, I'll immediately head on over to the living room, put on Disney Plus, and watch the last two episodes and enjoy them thoroughly, because everyone is giving it so much love. Although Christian was conspicuous with his tweet, Christian Harloff, he said, what do you say? I got a lot of thoughts. When Christian says he's got a lot of thoughts, that means he didn't 100% like it. That's the clue for Christian. When he says, it's giving me a lot to talk about. There's a lot of thoughts. That's usually him kind of processing it, and he's not 100% sure if he enjoyed it all the way. So, you know, he'll be on SCN Live at 10 a.m. They'll be reviewing it. I think him and Brett will be reviewing the show and giving his thoughts about it. And then I think tomorrow they're doing a full review of the season on the show. So there you go. And I hope you all enjoyed our Monday show last week. That was a lot of fun. Got to get the Monday crew back together. Hopefully we'll be doing that more and more as we get closer to opening things up again. We shall see. But it was fun to hang out again with Brett Sheridan and Kate and Ben Goddard and RB3. That was a blast of a show for sure. All right. I'm going to drink real quick again. That's good stuff. Yeah, it'll be Thursday. For those of you asking, the Jedi Way will be Thursday. I was going to drop something today, and maybe it will, a little bit of a teaser for the show, but I feel like, you know, there's already so much May the 4th content. It might get swallowed up by the other stuff that everyone else is watching from the way more established Star Wars shows, you know, like Star Wars Explained, like Steel Wars, the podcast. Love those people over there. Like Force Center, which is Ken and Joe's show for sure. Riley, I'm sure, will have something today, no doubt. So there we go. All of that is going on. So, all right, let's see if we get any Streamlabs that have come through. Yeah, we got one from Wiley. Hey, Roka, just watched this Bottle Rocket for the first time last night, the final Wes Anderson movie I needed to see, but starting on my deep dive of him on the next episode of the A-List. What's your favorite Anderson movie? Mine is Rushmore. Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not the biggest Bottle Rocket fan. Kind of a weird movie. It's kind of like Blood Simple. Blood Simple is not my favorite Coen Brothers movie. You certainly get the idea of what's coming next from them. It's certainly a watchable movie. Bottle Rocket is a watchable movie, but I think he gets better with his formula with every film that goes on from there. It's a good question. What is my favorite Wes Anderson movie? Let me see here. Let's take a look. There are so many that leap to mind. Sorry, The Grand Budapest Hotel, which of course is coming out on Criterion. Is it available now, I think? Yeah, Grand Budapest is available now on Criterion, so I'll wait till the half-off sale before I buy that. Let's see. Yeah, Rushmore is great. Absolutely. Well, you would love Rushmore, Wiley, because you're at that age where Rushmore is about kids around your age or young men around your age, so I understand that. Royal Tenenbaums, a lot of people love Royal Tenenbaums. There are some people who stand for the Life Aquatic for a number of reasons. Darjeeling Limited, couldn't make it through half an hour of that movie. I turned it right off. Fantastic Mr. Fox is great. Moonrise Kingdom is still one of my favorites. Grand Budapest Hotel is one of my favorites. You know, I think at the end of the day, I might have to say Rushmore, actually. No, I'm sorry. Royal Tenenbaums is my favorite. I think still it grows on me, Royal Tenenbaums, every time I watch it, depending on where I'm at in my life, what age I'm at in my life. I just enjoy all the characters in that movie so much and enjoy their storyline. So I would definitely say Royal Tenenbaums is my favorite at this point. Maybe followed by the Grand Budapest Hotel, and then Moonrise Kingdom, then Fantastic Mr. Fox, then Rushmore, and then the Life Aquatic down there somewhere. So those are probably, but the French Dispatch, oh, and Isle of Dogs. I did enjoy Isle of Dogs. I know some people weren't the biggest fan of Isle of Dogs. I enjoyed it. I thought it was very well done. I enjoyed the voiceover performances. I liked the story. And I know some people were saying, oh, it was, you know, it was kind of like closet racist. And I was like, what are you talking about? The people involved in this were from those countries that they were depicting. So to me, that was so weird that people were looking for something to kind of bash Wes Anderson about. Give me a break. And people go at Wes Anderson's like, oh, his films are, you know, it's mostly white actors. I get that. Look, I understand that. But for me, that doesn't bother me because that's his world. That's what he knows. That's what he creates, right? Like Woody rarely has minorities in his films. Woody Allen, I'm not trying to defend Woody Allen or anything, but like, I'm just saying that's what he knows. And so that's what he writes and that's what he creates. Do minorities occasionally show up in Woody's films? Yes. Do they show up in Wes Anderson's films? Yes, but they're not necessarily the focus of these films. So so there you go. So that's what I would say. But I thoroughly enjoy Wes Anderson as a filmmaker. And, you know, good thing you're diving into it because he's a good filmmaker to dive into things with and enjoy. All right, got 126 y'all in here, 87 likes. Let's swing that cursor button over. Give me a like. Get me over 100 likes, maybe even close to 150 before we wrap this thing up very, very soon. Yeah, and if you want to send your Streamlabs, please send them in there right there. Wiley Todd pumping in the address there, streamlabs.com/JohnRocha/tip. Just the tip. Shout out. There you go. Anyway, they just officially announced Taika Waititi is directing a new Star Wars film, and Leslie Headland is writing, directing, and producing a Disney Plus series. All right, let's take a look. Let's see if that's true. Taika, this will be the day to announce it is May the 4th, right? It makes all the sense in the world. I don't see the news. I saw that Ryan Reynolds and them are joking about never having heard of Green Lantern, which I thought was really funny. I don't see anything. Are you sure that's true? I don't see anything right now on the news about Taika Waititi. Maybe it's coming over Netflix. I don't see anything right now. Oh, I'm sorry, not Netflix, Twitter. I meant to say Twitter. So let me see if there's a 420 Chan. Oh, nice. Okay, good to go. Let's see. Royal Tenenbaums is also favorite. Let me see if there's anything on Twitter about Taika Waititi. Let's take a look real quick as the show is going on. Something like live radio, right? Is that what they call it, Taika Waititi? All right. Let's see if there's any of the latest. Oh, here we go. This is from Star Wars Stuff. Breaking, with Taika Waititi will direct and co-write a new Star Wars feature film set for theatrical release. Release date to be announced. Fandom is doing it. All right, Taika Waititi to direct a new Star Wars movie. And this comes from Star Wars. So, let's see. Incoming news from Galaxy Far, Far Away. This came over 8 minutes ago on the Star Wars Twitter feed. They said Academy Award winner Taika Waititi to direct and co-write a new Star Wars feature film for theatrical release. Academy Award nominee Christy Wilson-Carnes to co-write the screenplay with Waititi. Let's take a look at her. Let's take a look at Christy Wilson-Carnes, see what we got here. 1917. Okay, I'm in. I'm immediately in. She's one of the writers that she wrote 1917. Is that correct? Or one of the writers of 1917? Her and Sam Mendes. Okay, done and done. I think that's awesome. She's a fantastic writer. I really enjoyed 1917. She wrote on Penny Dreadful as well back in 2016. So respect for that. She's got a film coming out called Last Night in Soho and The Good Nurse. All right, so there we go. All right, Taika Waititi walking into the Star Wars universe with a new film. Let's see what that's going to be about. Certainly made his way in The Mandalorian, playing the part that he did in The Mandalorian. So certainly get himself connected to Star Wars in that way. So exciting news overall. And yes, you're right. There's another a bit of news here from Star Wars. Emmy Award winner Leslie Headland to write, produce, and serve as showrunner for a new untitled Star Wars series in development for Disney Plus. All right, let the speculation begin. Let the speculation begin. What will that be? We shall see. Leslie Headland did Russian Doll and Bachelorette. So she's developing this thing. She's going to write, executive produce, and serve as a showrunner for the series. So there'll be more Star Wars series coming here onto the Disney Plus platform on the heels of Mandalorian with and the Cash and Andor series. And, of course, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. So, and of course, those release dates have not been announced yet. So that's good news. That's great news. Three very talented people. When you throw in Christy Wilson-Carnes as well, three very talented people involved in this now. So that's exciting news for those of us who are big Star Wars fans to see so many people involved in this of such high level talent. So excited to see that. Got my 1917 sitting right there too, because I'm still a big fan of that film. I think it's the number one film from last year. Yes, even over Parasite, I still would have given it to 1917, but I don't begrudge Parasite winning at all. That's probably my number two film of the year. Mark Brand Review says, G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra is a guilty pleasure. Okay. All right. If I can have my Transformers, you get your G.I. Joe. So I'm not going to fight you on that, but all right. I respect it. Andrew G., it is not fake news. It is not fake news. They just dropped it there on Star Wars. So from the official Star Wars Twitter, pretty big deal. Yeah, nice, Andrew G. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, all right. So big stuff there. That's awesome. Yeah, it was rumored months ago, but it wasn't true. That's right. Andrew G. says it. Taika was rumored months ago, but it wasn't true. He said, yeah, you're right. It was rumored. I remember us covering that. So we shall see. Did you guys hear about Stallone stuff? I saw that Stallone, what's his face? JT was tweeting about it on IG. Stallone was on IG Live and he broke down some stuff and talked about what might be coming next down the road for him. Let me see. Yeah, here we go. So he says that Demolition Man 2 is reportedly in the works. Sylvester Stallone said this. He said he's seen the script and he liked it. So he says it's looking fantastic. He also, this could be Stallone and Snipes coming back together again years down the road. Maybe Sandra Bullock, maybe Benjamin Bratt would be a part of this thing. Lord knows you can get Dennis Leary involved in this. So we shall see. The film made $160 million worldwide on a $45 million to $77 million budget. So it was pretty decent success. Let's see. There's another thing he broke. Let me find JT's Twitter because JT was talking about it. I want to give him some respect because he likes to, you know, kind of tweet about this kind of stuff. He watches things. He said a Nighthawk streaming show is in the works. That's awesome. For those of you who remember Nighthawks, that's a great little 70s action film with Sylvester Stallone and Billy Dee Williams. Speaking of May the 4th, Lando Calrissian himself, Billy Dee and hunting down Rutger Hauer, who is a foreign terrorist who's coming to American soil. I think he's German in the movie, I think, or he's Dutch, something like that. But he's a foreign terrorist. He's coming to the States to launch a bomb. And Sylvester Stallone and Billy Dee, who are New York street cops or detectives, are trying to stop him from doing it. I think Marsha Hardiman, Mrs. Cotter, plays his wife in the film, I think. And he's definitely making the film Hunted that he's been trying to get made for 20 years. So good stuff for Sylvester Stallone. So excited to see all these projects popping up. So look, yeah, we're on lockdown. Yeah, we're on self-isolation. Yeah, we're in self-quarantine. But it doesn't mean Hollywood doesn't keep churning along, keep going along. I know friends of mine are still auditioning for things, and they're just waiting to hear back after everything starts ramping back up again to see if they got the part, to see if when the part will start shooting. So, you know, Hollywood keeps marching on. Pretty much they have faith that eventually this thing will get handled and we will be back to normal with projects, with TV shows, with movies. So keep your fingers crossed. Keep putting positive energy out there. We shall see. Rednex 42 says, I'd watch the hell out of Demolition Man 2. Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Did Snipes die in Demolition Man? I forget. Does it matter? You know how it is in films. If they want to bring someone back. And speaking of May the 4th, if they want to bring somebody back like Darth Maul, they will always find a way to do it and make that character still a part of the overall universe. You know, we brought back Palpatine for God's sakes, for lack of a better term. So certainly no one who died. I mean, look at all of Avengers. They all came back pretty much except for one, of course, who legitimately passed on. But everyone else came back. So, you know. You can say someone dies in a movie, but they always find a way to bring him back or kind of finagle things to make it possible for them to come back. So that's never out of the realm of possibility. You know, maybe there's a clone of Wesley Snipes. He did die in the first one, but maybe there's a clone of Wesley Snipes that they can get involved in there. Another thing I want to plug here before we jump into our last story here is my Patreon, which you can see right down. Let me bring it there, right down there. Patreon.com/John Rocha. Go and sign up there. Some of you have been signing up over the last couple of weeks. Thank you so much. I've been doing two hangouts every week. On Wednesdays, we hang out on the Discord for like an hour and just talk about whatever we want to talk about, hot takes, movies, what's going on in the world, what's going on in your life, what's going on in my life, talk about it all. And then on Thursdays, we do the live hangout on camera hangout on Blue Jeans. So everyone gets the chance to kind of come in and have conversations, have a little fun. And some of them have been suggesting shows for me to do on Patreon. So that's been a lot of fun as well. They're helping me set up my Twitch account. Oh, that's another thing. I am on Twitch. The Outlaw Nation is now on Twitch. We will be doing shows on Twitch. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be doing a particular show on Twitch called Rocha Unfiltered. It'll be at night from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And it'll be essentially like the old Outlaw Nation show where I just talk about whatever's on my mind. Talk about my day, talk about politics, talk about movies, TV, sports, whatever the hell is on my mind. We're going to talk. Could be relationships, could be mental health stuff, whatever's on my mind, 6 to 8 p.m. live show there, talking about it. And then, you know, hearing questions from you all, getting into conversations with you all about stuff. So it's going to be way more, even more of an interactive show, but you're going to get me unfiltered, which means no concerns about anything. Going to tell you my honest truth, my honest feelings about things. So that's going to be a separate show that'll be on Twitch there as well. So, and I'll be probably DJing a few. I see people DJing like Darina and Goddard, of course, and also Kaiser. So I'm like, yeah, why not? Why don't I give it a swing? See if have a little fun with it. Wiley Todd's been helping me with it. Suge Knight's been helping me with it. So shout out to both of those gentlemen for helping me set that up. So go and subscribe. Find the Outlaw Nation. It's called the Outlaw Nation, all one word together. And subscribe to my Twitch or follow my Twitch, and then you'll see what I got going on there. I don't know how to get affiliates. I don't know how to all that. I mean, I'm sure Wiley and Ben and Suge will clue me into that. So that'll be the process next. So jumping on that. Rocha on Twitch needs to talk smack about the flirt and floss. Sure, why not? I got my thoughts about it, so for sure that'd be a part of it as well. That'd be a lot of fun. But yeah, there's the Patreon address right there if you want to get involved as well. If you want to see it on screen, you know, $5 and up is what gets into the Discord chat. $7 and up gets into the live Blue Jeans chat. And then, of course, I'll be doing watch-alongs this week. Certainly, I'll do maybe two watch-alongs that I'll record and put up on the Patreon for you all to enjoy. I've got a Criterion Corner coming, and I've got my film series coming. So that'll be like a 10 to 15 minute show where I talk about a movie in a genre. So I'll probably start with the Western genre as I am the outlaw. So I'll be doing that for the first maybe 3 months. I'll talk about a Western every once a month or every week, maybe every week. I'll do one where for 15 minutes I talk about a Western and put it up there for you all to enjoy, maybe open your eyes up to a Western and why people love it the way they do, and give it a little bit of history of the movie as well. So maybe 15 to 20 minute kind of video I'll put up for the patrons for them to enjoy as well. So a lot of work. I'm doing a lot of work to be a part of your world, to get you to come aboard the Outlaw Nation, join the nation. I got no problem working hard. You guys know that, you know, so all of it in motion, developing as it goes along. Of course, the new studio is up and running as well. And don't forget, later on today at 2 p.m. PT, give it some love. Where are the boys? Right there. We're doing Game Time. Back to do a little sports show at 2 o'clock today. You guys have been great patronizing the sports show. Thank you so much. Just about every episode has been over 2,000 views. That means so much. For a channel that's building with 13,000 subscribers, to have 2,000 views on a show is pretty cool. So thank you all so much. Want to get it as high as possible. So the fact that we're getting consistent 2,000, now we need to start building to get higher numbers. So hopefully the more people subscribe, the more people take a chance on the show. And today we'll definitely be talking the review of last night's two episodes of The Last Dance, the Chicago Bulls documentary that's happening on ESPN. We're going to talk about the Cowboys news with Andy Dalton. We're going to talk about Chicago Bears news. We're going to talk about the U.S. Women's National Team in that court case, the surprising verdict that came down in that court case. And we're going to talk about the University of Tennessee quarterback who talked about his mental health struggles recently, and I thought it was a good thing to, hopefully it'll be a good thing for us to get into and talk about for college kids, kind of confronting the pressures of what's going on in the world nowadays. And of course, we're talking NBA possibly starting in December as well. So 2 p.m. PT today, me, Winston Marshall, and Mr. Jay Washington talking all kinds of sports today. Is there anything else that is dropping soon? Oh, yeah. My interview with Issa Lopez on the Deep Cut will be dropping this week for sure, probably tomorrow, because I think the Tigers Are Not Afraid is coming out tomorrow on Blu-ray and DVD for people to enjoy. If you haven't seen that, once again, Tigers Not Afraid, fantastic horror film, about an hour and 30 minutes, hour and 35 minutes, not that long of a watch at all. You can even join Shudder, AMC Shudder, for 7 days for free. Watch the movie, and then if you want, cancel the subscription, or if you're a big horror fan, stay with the subscription, because Creepshow is going to be on there. And speaking of Creepshow, my Deep Cut interview with Greg Nicotero will also be coming up very, very soon. That was a lot of fun sitting down with him for an hour to talk about Creepshow, talk about Walking Dead, talk about his career in horror. Truly an awesome, awesome dude, and it was a great conversation. We had a lot of fun talking about it. I mean, when it was over, I couldn't believe it was an hour already, and I could have talked for another hour or two with Greg as well. So look for those two interviews coming soon from here on the Outlaw Nation. It's going to be a lot of fun for you all to enjoy. And of course, it'll also be on the Outlaw Nation Podcast Network. If you haven't subscribed to that, please go over to wherever you download podcasts and subscribe to the Outlaw Nation Podcast Network. We're available on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Pocket Cast, Spotify, Anchor. Wherever you download podcasts, you can find the Outlaw Nation Podcast Network. Just look for that logo with that, a steer skull, and you'll see that I strip all the audio off these shows and put them up for you to enjoy. Because some of you don't want to watch it on YouTube or can't watch it on YouTube, you just want to hear it while you're doing stuff around the house or while you're driving somewhere. So please take the Outlaw Nation Podcast Network along with you. Okay, got over 140 of you all in here. Thank you so much. About 145 right now. Got 114 likes. Thank you. Let's start marching towards 150 likes. If you haven't given this thing a like, please swing that cursor button over. Hit that like button. Let's get moving to 150 likes. I personally would appreciate it. Hey, and don't forget, I think today on May the 4th, let me bring up another one here. Boom. That's right. May the 4th be with you always. That's right. That's much love for all of you. Don't forget today, I think Rise of Skywalker drops on Disney Plus. So if you haven't watched Rise of Skywalker, you may want to give this thing another watch. It does drop on Disney Plus. Maybe you'll fall back in love with it. Maybe you'll realize maybe you shouldn't love it as much. Either way, give them some numbers. Go watch that thing. See what your feeling is about it and have a little fun. I mean, it's May the 4th. Enjoy Star Wars all day today. This is the one day. I mean, really, every day you can enjoy Star Wars. But this is the one day where everybody gets it if you want to, like, spend your day watching Star Wars or rewatching your favorite films or favorite episodes of Star Wars content. Don't forget that Mandalorian one is out there. And shout out to John Huey over there on the Resistance Broadcast Network. He's dropping a review of the first episode of The Mandalorian. So go and read that or watch that when they drop it on there. They're great people, and they'll be coming on the Jedi Way as well to have fun conversations with me about, positive conversations with me about Star Wars. That's what the Jedi Way is. It's the Jedi, so it's good, so it's positive. So that's what the Jedi is going to be. And even if we review something in a negative, if we review a negative story, we will try to look at it from a positive angle. So that's my little contribution to the world, is try to put a little more positivity in the world of Star Wars. I know some people are already trying to, like, kind of get into the negative side of things today on May the 4th, which is unfortunate. All right. Let's move on. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know Haskell. We're definitely going to talk about that as well. Sorry, I should mention that as well. On Game Time, we'll definitely do a little retrospective on Don Shula as well, who passed away, unfortunately, this morning at 90 years old. The legendary coach of the Miami Dolphins and the old school Baltimore Colts, won 3 Super Bowls. He's the most winningest coach in the NFL. And of course, the only coach to ever coach an NFL team to an undefeated season. So much love to him. Rick Samora says, no thanks, I'd rather binge Rebels. And you should. All right, one more here. I'm going to take a little drink here. All right, let's have some fun. Let's jump into a little bit of controversy. Let me bring it up. Kevin Smith and the Justice League. Dun, dun, dun. So Kevin Smith had some comments recently about the Justice League, and this was an updated story, so I'm just following up with it. He clarified what he knows about the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. and he was talking to a comicbook.com's talking shop, and he discussed a number of topics. He mentioned that he would really want to see Snyder get a chance to do his vision of the Justice League at some point. He said he had conversations with VFX workers who spent time on the project. He learned a lot about what the storyboards process looked like. And it sounded like the Justice League was supposed to be parts one and two, and we're going to be filled with DC comic characters and concepts before the edits occur. Let's take a look at his comments here. First, he said, I was talking to some cats who were in visual effects. They had done visual effects, they had done some visual effects on Justice League. They saw the boards laid out as LAID, but whatever, very elaborate boards, some of them drawn by Jim Lee. That laid out, that's how you spell it, the three movies that they were going to make. Somewhere it became two. I guess the idea was the movies were Batman v Superman, Justice League 1, and Justice League 2. There was this vision of a grand universe. He said he saw Martian Manhunter on it. He said he saw Green Lanterns and stuff like that. So obviously we did see Green Lanterns in the Justice League movie. They were hinted at, or shown rather, in the opening of the Justice League movie, or was it the opening? But either way, the exposition of the past, we did see Green Lantern. So that was kind of teased already and maybe carried over from the Zack Snyder approach to this. This idea of splitting Justice League into two parts, that's very interesting as well. Listen, I've been speaking to Sean O'Connell over at Cinema Blend. He's working on that book for the Snyder Cut. So I may get Sean, I'm trying to get Sean to sit down with me. He said he'd be down to sit down with me for an hour to talk about this, maybe longer, as a separate maybe podcast/show where we talk about everything that's happening here with the Zack Snyder, with the Snyder Cut and his points of views on it. And will we see it? Won't we see it with HBO Max right around the corner? We shall see. All right. Kevin Smith goes on to say, so he broke down the script that he got to read, the movie that they shot originally, and then the movie that we saw. That's where I first heard about what we would call the Snyder Cut from people that worked on the movie. Special effects people. They were like, dude, Darkseid was in it. This was in it. They went through everything. Then we did an episode of Fat Man Beyond, and we were reading some internet piece about someone who had said Darkseid was in it. And remember, Darkseid influenced Thanos, so that's something to think about as well. Someone in our audience, Jamie Gathers, who comes to all of our shows, she had gone to a test screening. So she saw a version of it that had this stuff in it. She saw the Snyder Cut version before they did the reshoot because she described things that had been included as rough drawings and stuff. So they told the audience that this wasn't finished by any stretch of the imagination. Some of the stuff she described was Darkseid and was this much grander vision for the movie. So there you go. You have the idea that a friend of or a consistent attendee of Kevin Smith's stuff saw this Snyder cut and you know, said Darkseid was in it. Said all this stuff was that all the stuff's been teased and talked about. All the stuff was actually in it. So there was a Snyder cut that was released for people to watch. And so she actually saw it, this person, Jamie Gather. So I'm curious to see if there'll be interviews with her to see what she thought about it, what she actually saw, if she can get more in depth. So there's excitement on that level that there is an actual Snyder cut. Now, would you be open to seeing a Snyder cut that has animation drawings or drawings rather where things would be? I don't know. Would you be excited about that? Maybe. Could be a lot of fun. Would you patronize a film like that? Would you give money to a film like that? We shall see. Well, you see, Andrew Valdez says this Justice League movie is going to be like Tim Burton's Superman. What could have been? Sure, but I think there was way more shot for this Justice League than there were Tim Burton's Superman. So there's way more possibility of us seeing that than we'll ever see that Tim Burton Superman, certainly. Which, by the way, great documentary by John Schnapp. If you guys have never seen that, or you've been waiting to see that, and you're on self-isolation, self-quarantine, take a couple hours and watch that documentary. That would be a fantastic documentary for you all to watch, John Schnapp's documentary about Tim Burton's Superman. It was so, so good. Saw it like three or four times. Let's see. Thunder God, probably speaking for a lot of people, says, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Tired of hearing about the Snyder Cut. Either release it or let it go already. Well, I mean, it takes time to put these things together. Let's see. Yeah, I was at that Fat Man Beyond episode. She said it was rough. Rough previews. So, all right. So rough. So there you go. It's still rough premise. So, that's why they would need that money, or Zack Snyder needs that money to finish his vision, but I don't know if there's any way that'll ever happen. But it's curious to think about. I know a lot of people, I mean, you guys are maybe bored with it, but I'm not bored with it because I find it to be fascinating that you have a filmmaker like Zack Snyder, you have a studio here like Warner Brothers, you have a fan base that's mobilized to want to see this cut. So what is going on behind the scenes? Why are there not conversations happening, or are there conversations happening that no one is talking about? So these are the questions I have, and I want to sit down with Sean O'Connell and kind of go through everything. And he's reached out to me. I mean, I reached out to him, and he's reached back out to me. He said, email me. Let's figure out a time. Let's do this thing. So you may get a special Snyder Cut episode of the Outlaw Nation that I'll have on my show, and that'll be a lot of fun to sit down with him and talk about it. So we shall see. Let's see. Could you see Zack Snyder? Yeah, I would see a Zack Snyder Star Wars film. Why not? It'd be balls out awesome. It'd be brutal. It'd be probably gory or grungy, rather. Gritty. Sorry, gritty is the word I was looking for, not grungy. It'd be gritty, probably violence, probably way more R-rated than people want to accept for Star Wars. So I could see it. Could I ever see it happening? No, not while Disney owns Star Wars. No, I could never see it happening. I think Rogue One is about as dark as we're ever going to get in a Disney show. Even The Mandalorian got softer as it went along. So I really doubt we'll ever see a gritty, you know, hardcore R-rated Star Wars films, even though it should be there. Wookiees, what is your profession? There you go. That's my May the 4th thing for you all. All right, I'm going to take another drink. Anyway, I love the idea of Kevin Smith being involved in this. Why wouldn't he stump or stand for a filmmaker realizing his vision, finishing his vision? Certainly Kevin Smith, being a filmmaker himself, has had run-ins with executives and stars and editors where he's wanted to, you know, kind of do his thing with his movie. So a director standing up for another director is not really that big of a surprise. So there we go. I mean, I'm a fan of what he's trying to do and what he's trying to get highlighted here. So why not? It'd be kind of fun to see Snyder's version of it. Will we ever see it? I don't know. But if we don't ever see it, at least you should release what he released in that cut, so people could at least get an idea or have an exposure to it. And maybe, like Tim Miller with that Daredevil quote unquote leak, maybe them releasing that thing will drum up the interest for people to see it get finished. And you could start a separate Kickstarter campaign. There's no way Zack Snyder can't start a separate Kickstarter campaign and make enough money for that film to get its budget to be reshot. Some of the best. The visual effects to be shot and some of the other scenes to be reshot and to pay the actors. There's no way. The question comes, well, does Warner Brothers let them? That's always the end point of this whole thing. When does Warner Brothers say, okay, you can do this, we're all behind it, dot, dot, dot. Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, got the sun burning down bright on me. All right. At some point, I'm going to have to put that up for the morning's show. We shall see. We shall see. Matthew Hannes is still waiting for the Tarantino Star Trek. Aren't we all? All right, see if any more. Oh, cool. We got some Streamlabs that came through. Jake Iacovetta said, thanks so much to John, Roxy, Bateman, Brad, Jen, Ellis, Riley, Smith, Silvestrini, Chandru, Kaiser, PJ, Parker, Goddard, and Jay, and everyone else who joined us to raise almost $2,000 for Craig last night on Call to Action and Chill to Action. That's awesome. That was awesome. It was my honor to be a part of it, Jake. Appreciated you sending me a message to let me know what was happening. So it was fun to jump in for a little bit. I was exhausted as hell from a very long day, but I still was fun to sit in there for like 30 minutes and then chat with everybody and have a little fun at Chandru's expense and at Jay's expense as well, but all in a good cause to help Craig and deal with the passing of his beautiful wife, Sonia, and help him with the expenses of something like that. Because, you know, it's a tough time right now. A lot of people are getting furloughed or laid off. But, you know, when someone loses the love of their life, you know, it's amazing to see how many people are willing to step up and help financially and emotionally to help a young man come through this thing. And I certainly am one of those people that is 100% behind Craig Gagnier and his ability to process this in his own time, and very excited to see so many people willing to help him. Andrew G donated one. He said, I'm pumped that Taika's officially directing a Star Wars. I guess I'll forever be daydreaming about what his Akira, as Emma Fife would yell at me for, his Akira films would look like. Ha ha ha. Yeah, I agree. I guess we'll be daydreaming about it. You know, if it was going to happen, if there was an impetus to make it happen, I think that would have gotten a stronger push already. So for whatever reason, there's delays on that. Maybe it's script-based. Maybe it's any number of things. Andrew G said, this might be a real hot take, but I watched Attack of the Clones the other night and enjoyed it a lot more than the last time I watched Rise of Skywalker, LOL. What can I say? I grew up with the OG and prequels. Hey, Andrew, it's your right to like any film you like. And if you want to revisit a film and enjoy it better the second time, feel free. I know when I rewatched Attack of the Clones with Joseph Scrimshaw, about way back when for Jedi Alliance, I think it was over there at AfterBuzz, it was fun to watch it with Joseph. I think Joseph and Mark Donica and I both, all three of us watched it there and kind of did a watch-along commentary for it. So that was fun, and I found myself enjoying it more than I did the first time I watched it. So that could be a lot of fun for people to enjoy themselves. So there you go. If you want to revisit them, feel free to revisit them. You got a right to change your mind. It's you as a person. So you've got to don't let anyone tell you what you can or can't like, and don't let anyone tell you what you can or can't enjoy if you revisit something. So there you go. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'll ever watch that one again. Maybe I'll do a commentary for it. Maybe that could be a fun commentary. I don't necessarily bash it, but just talk about what could have been, what they could have done here, or they could have done there. Who knows? Maybe I'll do that down the road. It would be a lot of fun. All right, we're at the point where we start wrapping this thing up. Got 140. We had 145 of y'all in here. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it all. Jake says he's got to roll on. All right, Jake, thanks so much for stopping by, my man, and being here and doing all the things you're doing. Appreciate it. Don't forget that thumbs up. Hit that thumbs up button, share, and subscribe if you haven't. Absolutely, yeah. Subscribe to the Outlaw Nation channel down there below. Yeah, let me just start wrapping up now. I think we're a good spot. You know, we've talked about everything we need to talk about. No, you guys should go and enjoy your Star Wars today. And, of course, don't forget at 10 a.m. this morning, SCN Live with Christian Harloff and Brett Sheridan. Going to be a lot of fun there. If you haven't swung over and hit that like button as I'm wrapping up, I'd appreciate it if you did so. We're at 135 likes. We'd like to get to 150 likes before we wrap this thing up. I would be most happy for that. So swing that cursor button over, hit that like button. As I said, follow me on social media right there down below at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. Trying to get that Twitter above 20,000. I'm about close to 18 right now. Trying to get that Instagram above 35,000. I'm close to 33 right now. So please go and follow me on all the social media. I'm very active on both social medias. So please go and follow me there. Don't forget the Twitch channel. Go and find the outlets. I think it's twitch.tv/ The Outlaw Nation. Just go there and follow me there. There'll be episodes coming very soon. David B is working on the music for the logo. Music for the show. So me and him are going back and forth on what I want that music to be. I think Brian Ward is working on a new logo for it as well. So that's going to be fun. Roka Unfiltered. You know, I'm looking at possibly doing it 3 nights a week, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Three nights a week, or maybe just one night where people come and hang out. We get into it. We get into it. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And all controversy will be touched on and addressed about whatever, about anything. So it's going to be a wide open show talking about everything. Maybe there'll be some yelling. Maybe there'll definitely be some laughs. Maybe there'll even be some fun times and some good times. And maybe you'll open your mind or look at a different perspective, look at something from a different perspective or a different context. That could be a lot of fun as well. And please go and join my Patreon right there, www.patreon.com/John Roka. Got a lot of tiers for you to sign up and support the Outlaw Nation as we get bigger and stronger and grow and have a stronger footprint in the entertainment industry. So we'd love for you to get on board with that. You can enjoy the hangouts, the two out hanging with the Outlaws that I do a week. We'll do the watch-alongs. Of course, Criterion Corner is coming, and that movie series is coming, which I'm trying to figure out a name for. Maybe some of y'all can suggest a name for that movie series. Maybe it's something to do with teaching. Rick Samora says, Roka, will you play some video games on Twitch? I will absolutely play some video games on Twitch. I apparently got to get that capture card from Elgato, which is sold out everywhere. So we shall see. Oh, that's another thing. One last thing. Some of the people on the Patreon have been urging me to put up my wish list for my Amazon wish list. And I'll tell you all, honestly, I have a weird feeling about that because I don't want to ask you guys for anything. But putting up a wish list, I guess, is not necessarily saying, hey, buy this for me. It's just saying, this is my wish list. And so I'm going to put that up tomorrow morning. So people, if you all want to, can go to Amazon if you want to. you know, send anything from there, feel free. You don't have to. Nobody has to. So I feel weird about it because I don't like to ask people for things. So it's just weird. But Sean Baratteau and a couple other people there, Suge Knight, all of them have said, like, you're just putting it up. You're not telling people to buy you anything. So, okay, I'm fine to put it up. The Elgato thing is not on there. That's a separate thing. So I got to wait to figure out where we can get that, maybe at Best Buy or something like that. But everything else that I want to put on the wish list should be going up there. And you look for that tomorrow, the Amazon wish list. So much love to all of you over there. Let's see. Rick says, yeah, Wiley says, yeah, we are working on it. Yeah, of course, for the Twitch there, of course. And also, please subscribe to the Outlaw Nation channel. We're trying to get above 20,000 subscribers. We're crossed over 13,000 subscribers, hopefully 13,100 by the time this is done. So trying to get to, you know, marching towards that 20,000 subscriber thing, step by step, piece by piece, 100 by 100. We're going to get there for sure. So come and be a part of the Outlaw Nation. If you haven't subscribed yet, so much great content coming down the pike, so much more for you to enjoy. And, you know, this is one of those channels that is almost 100% interactive. It's a channel for you, for me, but for us, you know, to get together, to hang out, to talk, to shoot the shit. This is what this is all about. You know, I sort of want to turn the Outlaw Nation into a very interactive place where the fans feel just as much a part of it as I do, creating the channel, creating the shows and everything about the Outlaw Nation. So I will have pre-produced videos for sure. That's definitely in the pipeline, in the works for me, kind of getting around it, figuring it out, doing it all that. But overall, most of the shows are live shows because I want to interact with you all and hear from you all and get up-to-date feelings about all of it. So I appreciate you all coming aboard. There it is. Wiley Todd putting that Twisted TV/The Outlaw Nation. There it is. Come get involved there. All right. I think that's everything I can talk about today. Don't forget 2 p.m. PT today. Jay Washington and Winston Marshall are joining me for Game Time for a couple of hours. And tomorrow, don't forget Schmodown Backstage at 12:30 on the SCN Network. It'll be a lot of fun. That show already, I saw the guest list for that show. That show is going to be chock full of people there for you all to enjoy that. And of course, the Patreon, as I said. And I think that's everything. All right. Thank you all so much for joining me here on the Outlaw Nation channel for Mornings with the Outlaw. We got to 148 likes, so not quite 150. Maybe there's two more people out there who could swing the cursor button over, hit a like before I hit the goodbye button on this thing. I do want to say one final thing, and that's today is the 4th, right? May the 4th. It is Star Wars. So that means today is a day for you to enjoy and remember why you fell in love with that franchise. Remember what that franchise stands for, right? Star Wars, it stands for good over evil, the underdog overcoming the evil empire. That's what it's about. And also finding your purpose, pursuing your dreams, you know, believing that something more is possible and being willing to go for it and take the bumps and take the hits and take the knockdowns and the failures so you can get back up, learn from those things and keep marching forward to become whatever you want to become. That's what the franchise is about. It's about dreams. It's about a better world. It's about fighting for the things that are right and good and inclusivity. It's all about that. That's what the franchise is about. So remember that today as you're watching those shows. Fall back in love with Star Wars. Fall back in love with why you fell in love with that franchise and why it still moves you to this day, why you pass it on to your kids, why you're happy your father passed it on to you. Remember why it moved you the way it did and what it symbolizes. And maybe, just maybe, take some of that philosophy, some of the morality, some of the principles of that franchise and apply it to your life. Maybe encourage other people to apply it to their lives as well. I think that's the best way to honor a day like May the 4th. It isn't just enjoying the Star Wars, it's understanding what Star Wars symbolizes and how you can implement some of those principles and guidelines in your own life. So, all right, that's my 2 cents. Much love to all of you. Thank you so much for joining us here. And I hope you have yourself a great rest of the day today. Don't forget to head on over. Oh, 157 likes. Thank you so much. Don't forget to swing over to SCN Live at 10 a.m. for Kristen Harloff and Brett Sheridan. But until then, have yourselves a great rest of your day. And of course, May the 4th be with you always. Much love.